to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show
on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGLradio.com. And I want to get right to it. And we have on the line right now former FBI profiler and negotiator Clint Van Zandt. Thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Busy day for everybody. So good to be with you.
For sure. So let's talk about a couple of the bombshells that the latest Orlando terrorist was gay. Where does this lead us?
Well, it leads us to seeing the outcome of the FBI investigation. We're told as far back as when the shooter was in high school, perhaps he exhibited homosexual or gay tendencies. We're told by his first wife, with whom he was only with her for 4 months. He beat her allegedly at the time he was with her. She suggested that he exhibited gay tendencies. And then now, of course, we're told not only when he was in a law enforcement academy or a junior college taking law enforcement courses that he supposedly hit gay bars with students in class, but now the bar itself that he attacked, we have people inside saying that they've seen him there for weeks, months, and some have suggested even the past 3 years. What we haven't heard yet is that he was, we know he had two different marriages to women during this time frame. What we've yet to hear is, did he have a boyfriend that he was with or spend any time with? So this is still a little hazy, and I think it's still a responsibility of the FBI to get a handle on it. The bottom line is, does that impact on, is this someone who was committing a hate crime, or is this someone who was radicalized, self-radicalized jihadi, and does it make a difference to us at this time? And I think that's what the investigation has to prove.
Absolutely. So for sure, his name has appeared at least twice with the FBI. Investigators ran this information up to the attack. But yet he was on the watch list, but they let him go. And I think what's confusing for a lot of people, he was allowed to go buy guns. Shouldn't that have been a red flag?
Well, it should be from this point on. Realize that the FBI, by attorney general guidelines, which are passed down to the FBI, they conduct a preliminary investigation. As you know, some of his co-workers back in 2003 said, hey, this guy has been made some bigoted statements against blacks, gays, Jews, against women. He's also said negative things against the United States and spoke in favor of terrorist organizations. So the FBI spent the next 10 months. They interviewed people around him. They had a surveillance run on him. They pulled down his electronic records from his phone, from his laptop, internet, like this, everything obviously under the color of law. And then they interviewed him, and they said, why are you saying these things? And he said, my coworkers, they give me a lot of grief. They make fun of me because I'm Muslim, so I said it because I was angry and I wanted to get back at them. Where the challenge is, even if you or I get on the internet and we watch people being beheaded, or if we get on the internet and we watch radicalized Islamic terrorists ranting and raging about how terrible the United States and the rest of the world is, that is not a crime in America. And unless the FBI can show that he is moving toward committing an actual crime, under attorney general guidelines, they have to shut that investigation down, which they did. He was, during the investigation, he was on a terrorist watch list. But once you establish that you cannot tie that person directly to terrorism, you're taken off that list. And, you know, there's a purpose for that. As much as you and I would say, why didn't we leave that guy on? That would mean that any one of us, if somebody didn't like your radio show and call up and made an allegation against you, and that allegation stuck and put you on a watch list, that would inconvenience you at the very least for the rest of your life. So for all of us, there has to be a balance. The bottom line, like you see on television, an FBI agent comes to interview you, a police officer, you say, you know what, arrest me if you want to, or otherwise leave me alone, but I don't have to go any further. That's your right in this country, and this guy is an American-born citizen, so he has every right that all the rest of us do. From this day forward, would you and I say, if the FBI conducts any type of terrorist investigation, let's have that name on a watch list with a little asterisk, and that asterisk says, okay, you know, we're not going to take any rights away from you per se, but if you attempt to buy a firearm or multiple firearms, it's going to flip over to the FBI, and that will give the FBI a lead to go out and say, hey, how are you? I haven't seen you in a couple of years. I hear you want to buy a couple of guns. What do you want the guns for?
Well, that makes a lot of
sense. You want the FBI,
yes,
to be that intrusive.
Okay, we are speaking with former FBI profiler Clint Van Zandt. Let me ask you, because some people say that the Department of Justice squashes these kind of things that comes out that come out of the FBI. Is that true, in your opinion?
I have heard that, and realize I've been out of the bureau for a while. But I have heard that said a number of times, that there are times where the FBI would like to continue to run these investigations, and the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice will say, no, that's enough, or no, we're not going to authorize this, or you've done the preliminary investigation, you're not going to go anymore. Realize, for every new preliminary investigation that comes in, you multiply that times 1, 5, 10 per state, times 50 states. That's how many of these are going on at any one time. And it's just like the people who got shot the other night in that terrible tragedy, 49 dead and 53 injured. The medical responders had to triage, and they said, okay, we can save these people. Maybe we can save these. These are already dead. For the FBI, they have to triage these investigations. This guy is obviously going to be a terrorist. Let's go after him. This is a maybe, and all we have is a big mouth here who shot off his mouth, but we can't prove anybody else. Let's put him on the bottom of the list. That's what they do, and perhaps when the FBI looked at this guy 3 years ago, he hadn't yet made that journey from ideation to action, from thinking about doing something bad to moving down that continuum and actually getting what he needed to carry it out. We know he only got these guns in the last couple of weeks. So whatever thought process, anything else he hadn't done anything as far as like acquiring a weapon in furtherance of this. And, you know, we're not the thought police. I wish we were. I wish we had a way of saying we're going to give you a litmus test and see if you're going to be the next terrorist. Realize this guy in his job as a security officer, he took a MMPI. He took a sophisticated psych test to measure various dimensions of him that is normally scored by a clinical psychologist. He passed, quote unquote, that test to get his security job and allow him to carry a weapon.
I do believe that there's going to be many more tentacles of this exposed, especially with hearing that he was using gay apps and we don't know who he's hooked up with, and I guess all of that will come out. But let's talk about his wife. The FBI said she was with him when he bought ammunition and a holster and was familiar with the case. So now, nothing can happen to her unless she assisted in the murder, in the tragedy, in the executions. Am I right?
Well, she can, let's say as an FBI agent, if I was investigating this, one charge I'd be looking at is conspiracy.
Right.
Title 18 U.S. Code, Section 371. And that basically says if two or more people conspire to commit a criminal act and take one overt act, in essence, go scope out the place and say, okay, this is where we're going to shoot, or go out and buy guns, that would be sufficient.
That would be complicit.
If the United States attorney wanted to, they could charge her with conspiracy to commit mass murder.
Well, you know, the story all day I heard was up until now was that she didn't know any of this was going on. However, you're right. Now I'm hearing that she was with him when he bought ammunition in a holster. So that raises a big red flag in my head. She had to know something bad was going on.
But, you know, if you and I are the two FBI agents that are interviewing her, one thing we're going to be saying to her is that, ma'am, you know, you're gonna go down very hard for this one. And you've got a choice. You can either cooperate with us and help us try to understand this whole thing, and the U.S. Attorney's Office will be made aware of your level of cooperation, or you can tell us you're not going to say anything, and we're going to arrest you and prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law. Right now, she seems to be the best key to get into the mind of this guy to see what his multiple motivations were and to see was he simply inspired or was he under the direction of somebody else. The FBI needs her right now to talk. They can always deal with her and prosecute her later.
Clinton Van Zandt, thank you very much. Founder and president of Van Zandt Associates and 25-year career with the FBI. I thank you for the information and have a good night.
Good to be with you.
The script will end the same way every time, with nothing changing, except for the loved ones and the families of the victims for whom nothing will ever be the same. It's easy. It's almost tempting to be paralyzed by such a monstrously hateful act, to despair and say, well, it's the way the world is now. Well, I don't know what to do. But I do know that despair is a victory for hate. Hate wants us to be too weak to change anything. Now, these people in Orlando were apparently targeted because of who they love. And there have been outpourings of love throughout the country and around the world. Love in response to hate. Love does not despair. Love makes us strong. Love gives us the courage to act. Love gives us hope that change is possible. Love allows us to change the script. So love your country. Love your family. Love the families and the victims and the people of Orlando. But let's remember that love is a verb. And to love means to do something. And I don't know what else to say.
And a lot of people don't. Stephen Colbert, everybody. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. And one of the, bombshell stories that's coming out tonight is, well, first of all, the ex-wife's claim that the club shooter was gay and had gay tendencies. And if you start to put all of this picture together, all of these pieces of this puzzle together, it's starting to form a very ugly picture. Now, while we were up in the commercial set, Brian Pelletier from the KTO Newsroom joining me. Turns out he had several gay apps on his phone.
Yeah, including Grindr, Jacked, and an app called Adam for Adam that he used to contact various men. And he was known in the Orlando gay community since 2007, so this isn't a new thing for him.
All right, so allegedly, I guess the guy was gay. He was in the closet. And I want to play something for you that his father said before we came on the air. This is from Orlando's Fox 35. His father trying to make it someone else's fault, specifically the nightclubs, the Pulse nightclub.
If the owner of this club knew that 300 people are coming or 400 people, they should have had the best security. And I wish if there was security, would have eliminated him, this tragedy would not happen.
Wrong. What are you talking about? 415 is the area code, 808-0810. What is this man thinking? You know, so if this guy was a closeted homosexual, and according to his faith, which is fine, because that's one of the things we can do in this country, We can believe in whatever we want. God can be the tree out front beside the subway if I want it to be. But his Allah, whoever, whatever his father was following from Afghanistan, was very anti-homosexual. And his son was taught that way. And the first thing his father said to the police and to the press was, well, maybe he saw two men kissing. And that might have made him explode. I have a feeling he was self-loathing, the shooter, the murderer was. I feel as though he was self-flagellating. I feel as though he was self-hating. All because he couldn't be himself. Because his father didn't get it. And so what happened? Because his dad's a douche, this guy goes out and murders 49 innocent people. Because in some weird, strange, twisted way, he wasn't just killing those 49 people. He was killing himself because he hated himself. And daddy would never accept him. Does that make sense to you? It's so upsetting. It just reminds me of anyone who's not accepting of their own children's fate, whatever that may be, and what they are. As I can't find my mouse. Whatever they may be, as far as human beings. Is my mouse down there? I lost my mouse. No, that's not it either. Can you do me a favor? Can you punch up line one for me? All right, let's go to the phones. 808-0810. Hi, good evening. Catherine in San Francisco.
Hi, Drax.
Hi.
You know, I was married to an Afghani many years ago. I'm an Italian-American, and all I can tell you is that to be a homosexual in the Muslim community is the most disgraceful thing that the parents have to bear. In fact, they would rather have him killed. And what I found so interesting about the wife is how forthcoming she was of the information from, you know, the get-go that he was abusive. And now today we find out that he had homosexual tendencies and what she would have known of that. And she's any percent.
Right. Okay. And you're dropping out there. I'm sorry. 808-0810 is the number. Again, and I agree with what she's saying because there was a poll, I don't know, Fox or CNN. I'm so overwhelmed with all of this information, and as I'm sure everybody is who's following this disaster, is, you know, one of the things I heard, well, if you polled Muslims, how many gay people do they know? The percentage would be zero. Zero. I know who said that, Greg Gutfeld on The Five on Fox. He said he read a survey amongst Muslims who asked them about homosexuality. They said 0%. Well, now, as human beings, we all know that's bull, you know what. You know, the animal kingdom has them. The Episcopalians have them. The Catholics have them. The atheists have them. We all have them. Lots of gays. So his father, I've just got to think that putting this all together, this guy was so confused, and it certainly does not justify going out and killing 50 people and the massacre that he brought down around the people of Orlando. It's just outrageous. But man, oh man, can I point the fingers right back at his father? Yes, I can, and I will. Let me see. I found my mouse. Who am I taking next? Oh, yeah. There we go. Joe and Hayward, good evening.
Good evening, Jack. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
So I just wanted to make a comment here. And I've been listening to KGO pretty much all day. And one repeated theme that seems to keep kind of coming up is, you know, his religion and what his religion has to do with his sexuality and the fact that there's some negative connotations with the religion, with the sexuality, homosexuality in particular. But I think that we're missing the major issue here, and that is that, number one, no one so far on KGO has come on speaking from a traditional Islamic scholarly background to clarify what is sexuality in Islam and how that's interpreted and how that's understood, number one.
Oh, I wish they would. By the way, you can call me now, 808-0810. You're probably 100% right. I've not been listening to KGO all day. So if that's the case, someone please call and clarify. Yes.
And I understand that probably, you know, it's not the time for it. However, because it keeps coming up, I think just to be fair, we should have a traditional scholar come online and just clarify, hey, does the Quran say to kill all the gays wherever you find them? I don't think so.
One. As I try to collect all this information, Joe, and understand it, I read something that this could be considered mercy killings.
No. Hold on. I think that...
I think it's outrageous too, but that's one of the things I read. Yes.
I just wanted to bring up actually. So the main thing I wanted to bring was not that. That was a comment. The main thing here is that I work in the field of mental health by profession, and I think this topic is going unnoticed. People are not necessarily bringing it up and giving it as much attention as they are the ease at which he purchased the gun, or the, you know, his sexuality or whatever. I think that's a major concerning issue here, is that he had a severe mental health issue and no one is addressing that.
And what was that? And what was that mental health issue, that he was really a gay man and he couldn't come out to his family or be true to himself?
Well, if you look at the statements of his wife and if you look at the statements of some of his friends and his coworkers, he was a very, very troubled man. And
yes, from fifth grade, right.
Being able to come out. But on top of that, it seems compounded that there was a whole bunch of issues here. And I think that's just something, I don't know what it is. I don't know all the facts. But I just thought I'd bring that up and that
shed
a little bit of light on the importance of mental health, and considering that that could be a major factor here.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'm glad you called. Hopefully, if somebody knows Islam, they will call me right now at 415-808-0810 and tell me, you know, what's in the Islam, in the Quran, that no one can be gay. Look, I know the Bible, it's blasphemous and all of that garbage, you know, but we've gotten on with this country, at least most of us. And I just feel as though his father blaming the Pulse nightclub is just way out of line. It's dude, like you're on another planet, and that would be planet Afghanistan. And if that's the planet you want to be on, then get back on it. Get the hell out of here. 415-808-0810 is the number. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back. If you're on hold, stay there, and we will continue on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810 with a look at traffic. Here's Lee Graham.
810.
All right, this is from MSNBC, and Orlando Man messaged on gay dating apps.
I recognized him from one of the apps, but I instantly blocked him because, like, he was, like, very creepy in his messages, and I blocked him immediately. But my other friend...
From a gay dating app?
Yeah, from a gay dating
app. You recognize him from a gay dating app?
Yeah, I recognize him from Grindr. I recognize him off Grindr. The one of him in the tie.
Okay, there you have it. All right, so, again, this man's father... tonight is saying it's Pulse Nightclub's responsibility. They should have had more security since there's 200 or 300 people. Well, we know the loving lady who's like 50 years old put together Pulse Nightclub. What was the deal with her son? I'm not exactly sure. Chip was telling me some of the story. But because he was gay and she accepted him and decided to have a loving place, and Pulse was named after the beating of the heart together as one. Okay, so, I mean, you know, it was a social place where gays go to convene. And this guy apparently was one of them. Now, his father certainly would not have accepted him. Perhaps his religion would not accept him. So there is definitely, like one of my last callers said, there's some mental health issues that go all the way back to the fifth grade. But you got to wonder what the hell is going on with his family and all of this. You just have to think, well, you know, I am putting this together in my head. Well, Dad won't accept me. I'm gay. You know, I can't live that lifestyle because it's against my religion. So I hate myself. And I hate myself for being this way. Why did God or Allah make me this way? What am I going to do? I know I'll go out and kill a bunch of people, and then I'll kill myself. All right, let's go to the phones. 808-0810. RJ in San Jose.
Hi, Drex. Great show. Just real quick, I think the Quran forbids homosexuality, but it doesn't prescribe a punishment for it. The punishment of death for homosexuality comes from the hadiths, which are, you know, the collection of apocrypha and sayings and other things that Muhammad supposedly said that have been collected over hundreds of years. And those are kind of dogma. But that's where the actual punishment was prescribed.
Yeah, isn't, I mean, Sharia law probably does not allow. I you hear these horrible stories from Iran and some of the other countries over there in the Middle East where they throw people off of, you know, buildings and hang them by cranes.
Yeah, and that's a function, again, that's a function of the hadiths, which are kind of sayings or apocrypha, or things that Muhammad is supposed to have said after the Quran.
Okay.
And they're you know, various different sects of Islam or various different divisions of Islam will use those or, you know, adhere to them more or less, just like lots of different people, you know, look at the Bible or other sayings or, you know, things that saints say, things like that. Anyway, just for the record, I had one other thought, and that was just from a legal point of view of regulating things. I just wonder if we have finally gotten to the point of the compelling state interest test, or if we just need a couple more Orlandos for that. You know, I'm saying I think you could almost regulate anything now that there's this myth that the Second Amendment can't be amended, or, you know, you can't restrict it in any way. And the Supreme Court's long said that if there's a compelling state interest in a narrowly tailored law, you can do it. And I'm just wondering, you know, do we need some more mass killings before everybody says, I think the compelling state interest of saving lives or public safety is there?
Well, thank you very much for the call. President Obama lost his mind for a very good reason today. He's sick and tired of it. And my God, I'm sure he's counting the days. How many more days? 220 days left of hope and change. Then what? I fear to think. Let's go to Delilah. Thank you for calling and holding on. Let me see. From Santa Rosa, you're on KGO. Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
I wanted to comment a little bit kind of on what you guys were just talking about the self-hatred for being gay, society or other religions, viewpoint of it. People, Christians, say it's an abomination, whatever. And I think that although the way he responded is not appropriate, we know from our history that a lot of people that are gay that aren't accepted or feel bullied or whatever often commit suicide. And I think partially that's maybe what he did. And I just kind of feel like society as a whole, we have really some responsibility in this, because this is how we divide people up. We treat them differently. And gays certainly throughout history have been treated as lesser than, even if you're one of those people that goes out and says, oh, that's so gay. I mean, every little thing like that that makes a gay person somehow less than somebody else is contributing to it. And when he did the action that he did, it certainly wasn't the right way to respond, but we're kind of all responsible as a society for that happening. And I don't think we look at it that way. I think we do when somebody, I don't know, the kid from Wyoming that got strung up on the fence or whatever, when somebody is gay and they get attacked, we say that. But when something like this happens, we blame, you know, the person specifically, you know, whatever. But I think really what led to him getting to that point, you can say mental illness, you can say his dad, all these sort of things, but society as a whole doesn't hold the LGBT or whatever you say that word community as equal to everybody else.
Yes, but you know what? There are safe places that you can go, and Pulse would have been one of those places.
Right, but he felt, I think you're right, and he was kind of probably struggling with who he was going to be, an out gay man or a secret gay man, or should he be, or was he right, was he wrong? And I think you're right. There are safe places to go, but people still struggle with that and, you know, still struggle with, if I come out, how's my family going to treat me? How's my community going to treat me? You know, it is out there. You could just see it. You hear it all.
Oh, you can
time.
Feel it. It's all over the. If you want to see ugly, look at social media and some of the things that
look
we're saying.
Trump, yeah. You know.
Well, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And he, right. So right. You have people like that spreading this kind of divisiveness and hate, and then you have people like whatever this guy's name is trying to deal with who they are. And do I want to step out as my true self in the midst of all that? And for whatever reason, he just went bonkers. And for whatever reason, he had access to buy weapons, which is another whole topic.
No
doubt. I kind of agree with what the previous caller was just saying. But my point really is that I just don't think this kind of stuff is going to stop. People like him doing stuff like this, or people attacking gays, or gays committing suicide, until we as a whole stop putting them down as a people.
Okay, thank you very much. I think that he imploded. I mean, I really do. And it's the wrong way to go about implosion. That's for damn sure. And just speaking about society in general, about how we make mistakes, but then we're forgiven. Rajon Rondo from the Sacramento Kings. And by the way, wait till I play you on the other side of this. The, what is he, a priest? What is this guy? A preacher? I don't know. Preacher, priest from Sacramento said something horrible to say. I'll play that after the break. I don't even want to get into it. I want to take some more calls. Rajon Rondo from the Sacramento Kings got in trouble back in December for using a homophobic slur against a gay referee. Yesterday, he went on ESPN, apologized that for that, and sent out prayers to Orlando's after the shooting.
I definitely want to apologize again for my actions early on in the year. And, you know, that's not who I am, if you know me. But I want to send my thoughts and prayers out to the LGBTQ community. I think only thing that is going to create the stop to all this madness is love. You know, only thing that can conquer hate is love. So I think that's what we need to do is love one another. And my prayers and thoughts out to the family of the community in Orlando.
All right, very good. And apology accepted. And we go to, let me see, Kay. Is this Kay in San Jose?
Yeah, this is Kay.
Okay, sorry, I've got the names mixed up. Go ahead.
Okay, so I really love what Delilah just said. I think I didn't hear her before, and I just want to say that was great. Thank you so much, and I wish people really had that type of thinking. My other point was that I don't even understand why the father is still making statements. Like, why is he still going on and making statements about this? He was trying to get in front of the media because he was trying to be, you know, president of Afghanistan before.
Kay, stop. He feels guilty. He knows he's responsible. I mean, not for the murder, but for the cloud that he has cast.
Right,
yes.
But it just guilty, and we live in a Islamophobic country. So my concern is, my husband has a beard and he wears a turban. You know, how is he going to be treated when he's going to work? He's a truck driver, so I'm afraid. You know, you're a sensible person. You're speaking online, and you don't sound like you're going to go shoot another person that looks like a Muslim. But when we create these type of situations where we keep on talking about the Muslim religion and how it, you know, creates this type of atmosphere where people can't be gay freely. It's not just that religion. It's almost every religion, I have to say. I don't know any religion that says being gay or homosexual is okay.
Well, and we all know one thing. There isn't one religion out there where there aren't gays amongst them. I can be damn sure on that point. Yes. Yes, we can be rest assured on that. All right. Thank you very much. I've got to take a break. Wait. If you're on hold, stay there. I'll be with you. Wait till we come back. And you, what is it, Karen? The Sacramento preacher? Pastor, we'll play it coming up here. He's actually congratulating this guy. I mean, wow. Again like this this guy's father. Wrong planet, especially wrong state. Play that for you next. 808-0810 is the number. Ex-wife's bombshell claim, club shooter was gay. Oh, it's all over the place now. I mean, MSNBC talks about him being on Grindr and
Grindr and Jacked and Adam for Adam. Those are all gay men's dating apps.
I've heard of Grindr. Look, and these tentacles will spread, and sooner or later, somebody who's hooked up with him will come to the table and talk about this. And then there's his wife. Is his wife complicit? Should she be? Because she must have known what was going on. And you know, there's a law out there that says if he talked about it in the house, it's okay. She's not going to get indicted. If she helped him case things out, if she assisted in him gathering the weapons, if she loaded the car, helped him get dressed, then she can be indicted. Okay? If she just heard him talking about it in the house, just because she didn't pick up the phone and call 911, she cannot be held liable. What do you think about that?
Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
All right, piecing things together here with this massacre in Orlando. So now we know the guy was gay. He had gay apps. He had met romantically with another man. Wife, ex-wife says he had gay tendencies. The wife has said to the FBI that she drove him to the gay nightclub Pulse. So I think she pretty much indicts herself. I was just asking that question before the break. If she didn't help him, she wouldn't be complicit. But I'm just looking at the latest news here, and it seems that she told the FBI she was with him when he bought the ammunition in the holster. Several officials familiar with the case said she told the FBI that she once drove him to the gay nightclub Pulse because he wanted to scope it out. I would say that makes you complicit. So I would think you're in hot water for that. Okay, you want to hear something that's going to make your head spin? Listen to this preacher in Sacramento.
Roger Jimenez is the pastor of Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento.
Hey, are you sad that 50 pedophiles were killed today? No, I think that's great. I think that helps society.
He goes on to preach that the U.S. government should take a cue from the shooter.
I wish the government would round them all up, put a firing squad in front of them, and blow their brains out.
He's not a man of God.
Sandrea Nelson tells Sacramento's KOVR-TV that this kind of hate speech results in more violence, even suicide, among those in the gay community.
It can definitely cause more harm.
Efforts to reach Jimenez have been unsuccessful. I'm Jim Roop.
Ugh, makes my head want to explode. Okay, so there are people that want to go after the imams and monitor mosques. Okay, then you have morons like this who calls himself a preacher at a church. I don't know what faith that is. How can that be of the Christian faith? Who encourages people to be slaughtered and calls gays pedophiles? Dude, you're out of your mind. Oh, my God. 808-0810. All right. Let's see here. Thank you, everybody, for holding. Let's go to, is this Ahmed in Milpitas here on KGO?
Ahmed.
There we go. I'm Ahmed in Milpitas. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
First of all, I want to make the comments about the somebody say there's no homosexual in Islamic world. There's a whole lot.
Well, just yes, I know, right.
Okay. Yeah. They have to admit that. I don't know why they're saying no, it's everywhere.
Well, okay? This was kind of interesting when Greg Gutfeld was talking about this on Fox News today. It was, I don't know where he got the survey, but they were asking Muslim people, do you know of any gays? And I guess they all said no.
Oh, no, that's not true. My own husband, when he was in college, he go to visit the northern area in Pakistan as a student tourist. And he, in a hotel room, the guy attempted on him.
Right. Okay.
That's a 60-year-old story I'm telling you. And even nowadays, there's a lot. Lesbian and gay, there is a lot. Okay?
Right.
It's just the undercover. And the other thing is, like the people say, in Quran say nowhere to do this kind of massacre killing. Quran say the life for life. If you and me take somebody's life, only the state has the right to give us the punishment, death or whatever. Not you and me, not the other people. That guy has no right to take those 50 lives.
Do you agree, Ahmed, that perhaps he was self-hating and self-loathing because his father might not accept him as a gay?
Definitely. When I heard the news that he attempted, first thing I discussed with my husband, I said, this guy is a gay.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, we agree. So nowhere in the Quran does it say you can kill homosexuals.
No, the Quran says you can't kill. Quran says you cannot kill. When it says you cannot kill, because life is given by God, and God is the only one can take it. If you do kill somebody, Quran put the punishment for you, life for life, hand for hand, eye for an eye. But that, again, that right is only to the state, not to an individual.
Ahmad, thank you so much for calling. Let me ask you this. Since this happened over the weekend, does this make you more uncomfortable going out in public?
No, I'm not uncomfortable. If somebody says something, I try to explain to them. If somebody want to label somebody, they can go ahead and do it. But again, as a citizen, it's my duty and my right to explain to the other person. That's not what my religion is. And also, I'm living in this country as a Muslim, I'm not a scholar, but at the same time, I try to learn about the Christianity, which is already, everything about Christianity is already in the Quran, so do the Judaism. And even the other people, I try to learn them, so I do not disrespect them, right?
Right. Okay. Well, you assimilate with everybody else.
Islam do not allow those things. It's Islam do not, religion is a personal thing. I don't know what is your faith. You don't know what is mine, right?
That's right.
My personal thing, just like you like to wear blue and I like to wear purple.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you for the wonderful call. Lisa in San Jose.
Hi. I think, first of all, I don't know why they're concentrating just on this one preacher in Sacramento, because there were several who said pretty much the same thing immediately afterwards.
Well, I guess the sound bite went out across the media spectrum.
Right. He's the star. But if you look at it, he is absolutely the same person as the shooter. He is the Christian version of the same guy. And what I find interesting is that if you look at repeatable peer-reviewed studies, men who are homophobic react, get excited by gay male porn, whereas straight men who are homophobic, whereas straight men who are not homophobic do not respond. That guy, I will give you odds that preacher and the other one I saw a soundbite from are gay. Or they have tendencies, because we're all humans and we all have a little bit of both. You know, most of us are strong on one side and a teeny bit on the other, but we all have something in us, and he is scared by it just the same way. And if he had a gun, I wouldn't trust him either.
And you know this, and thank you very much. And anybody know this, just think about your own sexuality when you first discovered it, because this kid was a problem in fifth grade. 9/11, he was out cheering, okay? So there's been a problem ever since the fifth grade. He wanted to bring in guns, and he was suspended for several days. So he's been a bad apple a long time. So, you know, the authorities, should they have been watching more? I don't know. That's not for me to decide. But at some point, you know, and you feel that you're different, if you are different. And it is a horrifying experience to discover that you're different and that other people don't accept you for what you are. Race, gender, sexual identity, religion, name any of them. Disabled, and they hate. 808-0810 is the number. To the Drex Radio Show, Lisa Durden coming up here next on KGO 810, San Jose, Oakland, San Francisco.